Thank you guys so much for all that you've given to us today in leading us. Well, I'll be inviting Helly back up to bring the next word to us. And I've had some good discussions over break time and lunchtime about donkey's heads and bird poo. You know, I'm not going to let you forget that story, girls. And the kind of idea that perhaps with a donkey's head, you could break off an ear like a Dorito and dunk it in your bird poo like you do the Dorito dip. That could be one way of making it a bit more palatable, don't you think? The vegetarians just, can you have bird poo as a vegetarian? Well, they don't eat birds. Oh, some birds. Yeah, the bird poo might be vegetarian, I don't know. After Helly has spoken, we're going to share some words of knowledge that we've been given, and one that we had on Thursday morning, that's when at Mariners, our ladies who can gather at that time get together, and we spent Thursday morning worshipping and praying, and somebody had this. It's for a lady in a yellow top. Helly! I have shared this with Helly, so it's okay. Because I was waiting just to see who arrived today in a yellow top, and it was very obviously Helly. And the person put, God says it's your time to shine. He sees you even when you're hidden by dark clouds. He sees you. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. And they wrote Isaiah 60, verse 1. This person didn't know that Helly was going to wear a yellow top today. I don't even know if Helly knew she was wearing a yellow top till today. And when I shared it with Helly, she said, that's the verse that I'm going to speak on in the second talk that she's doing. So, us ladies, we can hear God, and it can sometimes seem like, oh, girl in a yellow top, really? God knows. God knows before we know what we're going to wear. So there's no stress. Okay? Helly, come on up. Let's just stretch out a hand towards Helly and let's just pray for her. Father, we thank you for your daughter. We thank you that Helly is a warrior princess. We thank you that she is obedient to your word. And Lord, as she gives out today again, Lord, I pray that you would fill her up. And Lord, I pray that you would cause her to shine brighter. We thank you for her, Lord, and I pray that you would speak to us, that our hearts, our minds, and our ears be open to you. Amen.
God's got a funny sense of humour, hasn't he? I only bought this top yesterday. It's quite funny. Let me just remind you, your chosen people, royal, holy, God's very own possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God. Because he called you, yes, you and you and you, out of darkness into his wonderful light. So, wake up. Wake up. Get in the room. Rise up and stand firm because it's time to shine. That is the word, isn't it? And what I want to encourage you about today is that there is more shine in you than you realize. You know, when you notice someone and you think, I bet they're a Christian. There's just something about them. That's what people say about you when you're not looking or listening. And I love the verse in Matthew 5. It says, you're the light of the world. A city on a hill that cannot be hidden. You're not for hiding under a shell like a tortoise or a basket. Because people do not light a lamp and put it under a basket. They put it on a stand and it gives light to the whole house. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. He's saying, when you know who you are and you're just who you're meant to be, children of the light, just being alive, being awake to it, knowing who you are, just being set and standing, even in that position of doing nothing, just being light, you light your whole house up. Your whole family are lit up because of you. Your whole home is lit up because of you. This city is lit up because of you. So don't allow yourself to get hidden. And listen to these encouraging words from Genesis 1. This is how much God loves the light and wants it to be. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty. It had no shape. And the Bible talks about darkness over the surface of the deep. And I think there is darkness over the surface of the deep. But remember this morning, well, the afternoon, we learned about the power in God's voice. Because over that darkness that was hovering over the waters, there was something else hovering over the waters. The Spirit of God. And he has no rival. He has no equal. The darkness cannot put him out. And then God said, let there be light. And guess what? There was light. Because God said so. And over your circumstances and over your lives where you think there's darkness hovering, oh, there's someone else hovering. And there's God who has a word to speak. And remember who it might come through. You. Tag, you're it. He says, let there be light. And there was light. And it was good. And you know what? Then he says in the New Testament, and now that light is you. You're it. There's no darkness that can extinguish you. There's no crushing that can come over you. You're a city on a hill. You're a lamp on a stand. And you bring light to a whole house. You change the atmosphere in a room when you walk in. You really do, girls. Because you're the daughters of the Most High God. So Isaiah 60, which unfortunately the Holy Spirit snitched on me that I was going to speak from, wearing my yellow top, which I bought in Bristol yesterday, and a very fun day out, says this, arise, shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth. Same old, same old. We've heard that before. We see it again. And thick darkness is over the people. Same old, same old. But the Lord rises upon you. As he did it then, he does it again. He continues to do this. This is kind of his specialist subject. Light bringing and rising on us. And his glory appears over you, that verse goes on to say. Nations will come to your light. Okay, wait a second. This was not in the contract. I'm quite happy on my little stand in my room, just lighting my little room, my bit. God's like, no, 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 girls. No, nations are going to come to you. Think a bit bigger, please. Nations will come to your light, kings to the brightness of your dawn. Oh, okay. And you know, everything gets attracted to the light. Even blimmin' flies are attracted to the light. But God is making us light, and people will come. People will see it. People will see Jesus in your eyes. You can't help it. You're stinky radiant. We're particularly stinky today, probably. But you know, nations will come. And then verse 4 goes on to say, lift up your eyes. This is like, wake up. Look around. What's going on? Look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar. Your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth of the seas will be brought to you. Now we're talking, girls. The wealth of the seas will be brought to you. The riches of the nations will come. So you will know, not so that we sit down and go, hey, thanks, I'm stinking rich now. I am a daughter of the Most High God. I am full of light and radiant. Go me. No, it's so that you will know that I am the Lord. I am your Savior. I am your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. You see, when we are light and we know we're light and we take our stand wherever God puts us, and I don't believe anywhere we end up is where we are by accident. We light that place up. And it has an effect that goes wider than what we would notice. So I want to encourage you today, start to look and notice who's coming, who's noticed what's in you, who's seen God's goodness in you. Stand firm in that place because God is bringing people. God is bringing his blessing, the wealth of the nations. The wealth of the seas. It's really funny because I just came back from California a couple of weeks ago, and I wrote down a sense that I had from God all about seeds and things under the ground coming to the surface and then being ridiculously fruitful, to the point where I felt like God say, financial blessings are going to come from under the ground. And I wrote in my journal these words, it's like rivers of gold are coming up from under the surface. Behold, I'm doing a new thing, it springs up. Don't block my spirit or my living water. He wants to flow again. That's what I wrote in my journal. I went to California and I nearly fell off my seat because they gave a prophecy and they said, something really weird has been prophesied over this area, and it's a church where they feel it. What happens there gets reproduced in the nations where people come and they sort of take it back. That sort of stuff's in the Bible, isn't it? Where you know, like Moses imparted gifts to 72 people and they took them off and went with them. So I went to this church and I was like, whatever you've got, God, I'll take it back. And in this prophecy journal I read, it said, rivers of gold are coming from under the surface. Behold, it springs up. It was a guy called Chuck Pierce giving this prophecy, who's quite well tested as a prophet. And he said, God is going to come and he's going to bring the gold. And I was like, yeah, he is. It's the wealth of the seas. I really felt it. And so I was like, this is excellent. Anyway, then I went back to my friend's house and we were watching the news. She's living out there at the moment. And it was something on the telly and they said, well, I never. A worse American accent. Don't do that again. Well, I never. In Redding, California, we've just uncovered some gold veins. Rivers of gold have been bubbling under the surface for 200 years, but because we've had a drought, the rivers have dried up, and now we've had the water again. New rivers have been formed, and they've flooded through people's gardens, and those who didn't block them, it's flushed from underneath the ground, gold. And it's like the poorest people in their community are actually, literally, the most stinking rich now. And it's because they couldn't afford to put the barriers up to block all the water. And so I really felt God say, listen to my spirit in that. Don't block God's flow. Don't stop the mess in your house. Let it come. Let his river flow. Let his light shine out of you. Just don't be such a control freak. And just watch what comes up from under the surface that you can't see now. Watch what comes to you in terms of blessing and provision when you just sit there and go, oh. It's a posture, isn't it, that they had to take. And they kind of didn't have much choice, some of these people. But I really believe this is true. And verse 17 in that passage from Isaiah 60, was it 60 or 61? 60, says, instead of bronze, I'll bring you gold, silver in place of iron. Instead of wood, I'll bring you bronze, and iron in place of stones. I will make peace your governor and righteousness your ruler. God is in the business of upgrading. Until we get to heaven, it's a continuous glory to glory to glory to glory. And then eventually, yay, actual glory. We're in glory. And so I don't know why we have this weird mentality that if we are still, we're going to rot away. If we're still and we take our place and we take our stand and we're clear and we know who we are, God can bring people to us, bring blessing to us, bring nations to us, because we're light. It's just who we are and what God's done in us. We can't help it. And I'm not saying don't do stuff. Don't hear me say that, will you? But I want you to take the pressure off yourself that you are already radiant. You are already light, which means you attract others. You attract God's blessing. You are gold yourself. And I want to talk to us now about a lady who demonstrates how attractive the light of God is and what it could look like when it brings light to a whole house. She is the Queen of Sheba. Have you heard about her? We have a processional music thing. Lots of my friends who've got married process into the Queen of Sheba. And I have to be the bridesmaid, and I'm like, all out of time, falling over air because my heels are too high. But so she came, and she came for miles. We sang that song earlier, didn't we? I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but they're all searching for answers only you provide. You're a good father, it's who I am. And I'm loved by you, it's who I am, who we are, who he is, who I am. And actually, people are desperately searching, and then going to clock you. They'll see you, and they'll see God in you, and they will come. And so this lady, the Queen of Sheba, I worked out how many miles she came. I couldn't believe it. She traveled 1,500 miles looking for answers because she had heard about the reputation of Solomon, who had asked for wisdom from God. It's pretty hardcore, isn't it? Like, I was like, cool, Gloucester's a long way from Cheltenham. Alternatively, 1,500 miles to get to a place where she knew there was light. Because people are desperate, girls. Desperate for what God has revealed in you, shone into you, put into your life, deposited in you, made strong in you, given to you. From him. And so in 1 Kings 10, we find out more about her story. And it's twice in the Bible because it's also in 2 Chronicles 9. And it says this in verse 1. When the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. See what I mean? She's hungry. There's a famine in the land. And she knew where to go. She's like, I have a deficit of wisdom. I know he's light, I'm going there. So she came to Jerusalem with a great retinue, with camels bearing spices. See, people don't come empty-handed. She's got her camels. Don't forget your camels. Bearing spices, much gold and precious stones. She comes with the gold. When people come, they come with some treasure already that God's actually already given them. Don't miss it. Because they're looking at you. Look at what they're carrying. And she came to Solomon. This is so beautiful. She told him all that was on her mind. Be prepared for some processing when people start seeing the light of God in you. And Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing hidden from the king that he couldn't explain to her. Isn't that beautiful? Because it's all in the light. And everything in the light is visible, and everything in the light can become light. And so when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house he built, the food of his table, the seating of his officials, the attendance of his servants, their clothing, yes, about the clothing, it's important, his cupbearers, his burnt offerings that he offered at the house of the Lord, there was no more breath in her. It took her breath away looking at this light palace. This place that was full of God's light, the house, the food even reflected the goodness of God. The clothes on the servants reflected the goodness of God. You see, it's in the details that the light shines. It's often not in the big dramatic ministries or the massive things we create. It's in the way we set the table. It's in the doors we open. It's in the clothes that we're wearing. Everything tells a story about God. Isn't that amazing? Everything in your life is light and can be used by God. Just hold that slide a second, guys. So here's an example of where God did that for me. I was getting ready to speak at a conference. Some of you guys will heard this story too. I was having my usual crisis about what to wear. See how funny God is about giving a prophetic word about my clothes. This is like so kind of Jesus. And I genuinely didn't know what to do. It was an Elim conference, and the Elim girls, they dress like power dressers. And like all the shoes that I'd seen on the photos, I'd like Googled and scrolled, zoomed in at all the shoes. They were wearing shiny stilettos. I was like, I genuinely will fall off the stage. I do not know what to wear. So I was getting in the right old tizzy about it. And then this lady emailed and she said, oh, I don't know whether to write in the program Helly or Helen. And I was like, oh, I don't know my name. I don't know whether I should be called Helly or Helen. What should I do? And then I said to my mum, oh, they've like said, because somebody knew my mum, that's how they found out about me. And my mum obviously said, Helen. Helen, that's your name, means bright or light. And everyone's been calling me Helly for years, so I just had just put Helly, and then they were like, I see your Gmail is Helly. And I was like, yeah, I'm normally Helly. Let me just check with Jesus that he's okay with that, because I take things, well, basically I overanalyze girls. Does anyone else do that? Thanks, few. So I slightly overanalyzed for a matter of a few days. Am I Helly or Helen, Lord? Give me a clue. And while you're at it with the old clues, could you show me what to wear, particularly on my feet? Because I don't want to fall off the stage and look like a dork. Actually, I might fall off anyway, so could I be wearing nice shoes? Thanks. And I went to sleep and I had this dream. And in this dream, I saw very clearly some pale pink shoes that were wedged. They're easier to walk on, aren't they? And so I thought, right, I'll wear those when I woke up. And then I thought, oh no, I don't own any. So I was walking down into town, down the promenade, and I was thinking, great, so I don't know what I'm going to call myself, and I've had a dream about shoes that I don't even own. Great. And I got to this shoe shop called Hotter. Anyone heard of it? Not dissing it, just saying it's not my regular. And felt like, in my mind, God said, stop outside Hotter. So I was like, okay. And I walked in, and first rail, sail rail, were the exact shoes I'd seen in my dream. I was like, Jesus, you're so kind. And they fitted. I felt like Cinderella. And put them on, and I was like, stood a little taller because they were wedged. And I thought, yeah, I feel like myself. I feel like comfortable, quite girly still. Like me, I'm not likely to trip over what I might do, but not as much as I would have done in shiny black stilettos. And I thought, I'll get them. So I went to the till, and I went to pay. And this is what it said on the till. Helly, pink. And I was like, I'm sorry, how do you know my name? I mean, I know I'm kind of a big deal to myself. And she said, oh, no, that's not your name. That's the name of these shoes. I was like, I'm sorry, that's my name. So I start getting all my business cards out. And I was like, and Jesus gave me this dream about these shoes. And I'd been praying, show me what to wear. And this poor lady looked at me. Who even are you? But it told a story to her that took her breath away, probably in all the worst ways, about the goodness of God. And then I showed her the meaning of my name, and she said, well, what does Heli mean? So I Googled that in front of her, and it said, from the Greek word for sun, Helios, which is light, and Helen means light. So I was like, this is amazing for me. I'm having a proper revelation in Hotter in front of this poor lady who has no idea what I'm doing and why I had this dream. Anyway, I keep seeing her now. It's always slightly awkward. And she's like, and every time I invite her to church in Alpha, and she's like, oh no, I'm busy. But God is relentlessly pursuing her. But you see, even our clothes tell a story, and they did for the Queen of Sheba because it took her breath away. Even just noticing the lightness in his house, the clothes on his servants. And I'd not seen it before, the detail and the light that he was carrying that was attractive to her, that caused her to travel over 1,000 miles because she'd heard. And in Matthew 12, it talks about how the queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. So that light in him was nothing. And so when she saw all that, and she noticed the table, she noticed the clothes, she says to the king, the report was true that I heard in my own land of your words and of your wisdom, but I didn't believe the reports until I came, and my own eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told to me. So you see, people are looking at you, and they're seeing a glimpse of the light of God. But until they get to know him, it's like only the half has been shown. And it says, your wisdom and prosperity surpass the report that I heard. Happy are your men. Happy are your servants who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who's delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel. You see, he was light and he was set on a stand to bring light, not just to his nation, but the surrounding royals who then came. And God loved Israel forever. He's made you king that you would execute justice and righteousness. And the places he sets you, girls, where you're to bring your light, he's put you there for that purpose, to bring justice and to bring rightness, because there's a lot of not rightness in our world. And then it says, she gave the king 120 talents of gold. So she didn't just come at the beginning with the gold. She then gave more. I'm happy to receive that, I'm just saying, for being radiant. Okay, come on then. And a very large quantity of spices. I'm not so bothered about the spices, just putting that out there. And precious stones. Really excited about them. But then it says, never again came such an abundance of spices as these that the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. You see, when we wake up and we know who we are, when we then rise up into that and respond to his word, and we take our place and we're put where God puts us, and we stand firm and we just shine. We shine, we bring the light of God. People will come and they'll want what we've got, and it's Jesus. People will come and they'll bring their treasure, because there's treasure in everyone from God. And it will bless our socks off when they do. It won't make us feel, oh, I'm lacking they're robbing me blind of my joy. No, it will bless us because we'll see things in them that God put underneath the surface, those rivers of gold. And when he starts to flow by spirit, it does bring a mess. But look for what it's uncovering under the surface. Look for the treasure. And Ephesians says, wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead. Christ will shine on you. And he's doing that in us, isn't he? And allow yourself to be in exactly the place where he wants you. To not just bring light to your own life. You don't just want light for your own inside. It's light for your whole house. It's light for your family. It's light for your business. It's light for your children. It's light for your sister. And then wider, it's light for the city. It's light for your friends. It's light for the town. It's light for the nation. It's light for the nations beyond this nation. Because people want what God's given us. And remember, whatever it is, it's for sharing. It's for sharing. So why don't we pray? And why don't we ask for his light? Because remember, we're just agreeing with the Most High God. In the darkness, he says, let there be light. It's time to wake up, Sleeping Beauty. It's time to hold on to God and take him at his word. It's time to allow his truth to strengthen you in your core. It's time to birth the things that you've carried for a long, long time. It's time to rise from the dead. Because God says, little girl, get up. It's time to stand firm and take your stand where Jesus has put you. It's time to remember that the belt of truth is round your waist. You're perfectly fastened. And Christ will shine on you. So I'm going to pray and read these words over us. And they're like just to be heard as a declaration. These are these words from Isaiah. Arise, shine, your light has come. Let there be light, and there was. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over people. But the Lord rises upon you. His glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Sons come from afar. Daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth of the seas will be brought to you. The riches of the nations will come. You will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I'll bring you gold. Silver in place of iron. Instead of wood, I'll bring you bronze. And iron in place of stones. And I will make peace your governor. And righteousness your ruler. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would take those words of your truth into our hearts, that they be truths that we stand on, things that we feed ourselves on, prayers that we need to pray out, promises that we need to hold on to. God is perfectly capable of bringing sons and daughters across oceans back. God is perfectly capable of bringing nations to you. God is perfectly capable of bringing the wealth of the seas. And God will bring people with their questions because they will see how radiant you are. But it's because you're showing off how good God is. And I love this from Isaiah, that he's reminding us that God is our Saviour. God is our Redeemer, and God is our Mighty One. And as he did it all back then, he can do it again, can't he? And I think some of us, we need to be praying these declarations over situations where we feel confused, where the earth feels dark, where it feels a bit formless and we see other hoverings. We need to be restating truths from the scripture. Let there be light. So let there be light over our children. Let there be light over our families. Let there be light over the government. Let there be light over our businesses. Let there be light over our minds. Let there be light over our creativity. Let there be light over our emotions. Let there be light over the things we write. Let there be light over the things we say. So why don't we stand? And Catherine's just going to share some of these prophecies.
So if there are any areas, as Helly's just been saying, where you want another sister to come and stand with you and pray light into certain areas or situations that you're facing at the moment, then please do come forward for that. And some of the words of knowledge we had earlier, we've got God wants to release creativity. As Helly just said, light in creativity. He wants to release creativity, particularly for writers. And they said, I see someone stuck holding a pen, wondering what to write, wanting to give up. God wants the ink to flow as you step into your gift for his glory. So if you feel that's you, please do start coming forward. There'll be prayer ministry team to pray with you. Somebody else felt that there's healing for those suffering physically from stress-related health issues, particularly IBS. He wants to give you his perfect peace. Do not worry. A reminder from John 4:14, whoever drinks the living water will never thirst and become a fresh bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. So if any of those words have spoken to you, oh, there's somebody as well, sorry, they had a picture of a lady looking after her children and feeling she wasn't doing a lot. She felt God was saying, do not feel you're not achieving anything. As you look after your children, I am preparing and equipping you with all you need for the works I have prepared for you ahead. So if any of those words speak to you, please do come forward for prayer. If there's anything else that you would like prayer for, please come forward. Don't let today pass by with you thinking, oh, I wish I'd gone forward for this or that. It's a safe place, and we're for you. And Mary's got something to share as well.
This morning I thought of a picture that I painted about a couple of months ago, if you can put it up there. I thought it'd be good to share. I don't know if you can see it very well, it's a bit faded, but I painted this picture thinking I was going to put a boat on top, and then God said no, that is the picture. And what it is called hope and perspective, and you are in a boat looking at the waves. You're looking over the side. The first view that you have is a view from the crew members looking at the waves. You see the waves up close, and you have to decide if they're welcome waves or bad news. And there is nothing wrong with this view, but the other views are important too. The second view is the view of a lookout at the top of the boat, the prophetic voices. This view enables people to see the ocean and the mist. That mist could be a block on visibility, but it could also be the Holy Spirit hovering. The third view is the worshipper's view. This raises you up on eagle wings to the height of the mountains. In fact, you can see over them like you could see in a plane, the eagle's viewpoint, and you can look down on your problems and see beyond them. The fourth view, this is entering the presence of God and seeing his mountains, the mountains of Aslan's country. It is so much bigger, and we stand in awe at his majesty, and in awe that we can be in his presence. The fifth view, this is the view of hope. we get a glimpse of his glory, the joy and the fullness of his kingdom and the promise of the wedding feast. And I wanted to say this morning, I was thinking, how do we change perspective? That's when we worship. When we lift him up, he lifts us up.
Okay, thank you. So if prayer ministry team would like to come forward, and anybody who would like to receive prayer, come forward. And we're just going to end with a song.